Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. Pastor Alan Miller, chosen for his sermon topic, He Will Rejoice, based on Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's great to be with all of you here this morning, and I welcome any guests and visitors we have with us today. We are so glad you're here, and we pray that you can join us again in the future. Well, this morning we continue in our Advent season, and we today light our third candle, representing the third week in Advent as we anticipate the coming of our Lord. This week we light the candle of joy. As Christians, we have so much to be thankful for, knowing that the Lord works even today, working in our midst to bring life and salvation to his people. And so we, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And at this time, let us sing in joyful praise to God together, hymn number 803. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, dearly beloved, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. In that time, I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And at this time, we listen to an anthem from the bell choir. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. The prophet cries out, rejoice. For the Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who will save. In verse 17 of our Old Testament reading, I love how Zephaniah just completely skips over whether or not the Lord can save. Now, whether the Lord can or cannot save, for Zephaniah, that's entirely out of the question. Because to him, it is just so obvious that he can. In fact, I would say anyone with half an eye can see clearly that he can. For the Lord, he is mighty. And it only takes two brain cells to conclude that he is almighty. You don't need to be a great scholar to see that the Lord is sovereign, able to do whatsoever he pleases. When it comes to God, can is a question that just doesn't warrant any discussion. For all things are possible with him. And again, that's why Zephaniah skips over that issue completely, opting to address the more significant question of, will he? Well, truly, dear friends, it's remarkable that not even with this does Zephaniah spend a whole lot of time proving. Rather, he just says right off the bat, rejoice. The Lord your God, he's near. So near, in fact, that he is in your midst even. This prophet of God assures us that he is near. And he will save. He has even bound himself by oath and promise. The Lord God, he has obligated himself to do so. He has entered willingly into a binding covenant with his people, saying, I will save to the uttermost all who come to me. And when there was no higher name by which the Lord could swear by, he swore an oath by his own name. I am the Lord, he says, and I will do it. I do not change, and though heaven and earth, though they may pass away, my word, though, it can never pass away. He who gives bread to the ravens and beauty to the flower, this same Lord will sustain you. In both body and soul, you must be well cared for. For not only is it true that you are of more value than these, created in God's image, but again, he has bound himself with unbreakable promises to do so. He is the God who cannot lie. He will and he must save you out of life's dangers. For even in the valley of the shadow of death, you will find his salvation. Though death and tempest are near, the Lord is nearer still. Though David says death is so near that it can even cast a shadow upon you, the Lord, though, has set his hedge to protect you. Though death may eclipse out the sun, even then, though, will the Lord continue to protect and to provide. And he will carry you to life's end, where we will enjoy and win the victory forever. It's for this reason that Zephaniah calls us to rejoice. And rejoice we must. He will save, and in fact, he has saved already. The victory is won already in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won it upon the cross on our behalf. We may, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, beloved, we are, of course, a happy bunch when the Lord blesses and saves us. It's natural then to rejoice in the Lord and to be glad and to sing over his gracious blessings. In fact, what we see, the saints who most experience his blessings, those whose race is over, they never cease praising God and being joyful night and day for eternity. They continue singing praises forever. But what I find so remarkable is that truly we are not half as glad as God is when it's he blesses us. The most happy of saints, the chief of sinners who has just found their sins erased, just found their guilt atoned for, their shame and nakedness clothed, even this chief of sinners is not half as pleased as God is in saving them. You know, God doesn't repent of those promises he made, we talked about earlier. After all of those promises God's made of saving to the uttermost all who call upon him, of forgiving 70 times, 7 times a day those who ask for forgiveness, after making all of those promises, he's not wearied. Look at all the obligations that God has put upon himself, and no, he regrets none of them. Jesus doesn't regret even having to become a man and shedding his blood. He regrets not that he had to experience the wrath of God's judgment in order to save us. There is no regret at all in God's eyes. Jesus foresaw, before he made the promises, the shedding of his blood. And even then, he didn't perform the work reluctantly. But as the scriptures say, it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. We are happy when God blesses and saves us. But picture this, God is happier still. When God pardons sinners, yes, the one who escaped death and hell is rightfully happy, singing praise. But again, God is happier still. You remember the prodigal son? You know, he was certainly very happy to return home, excited to finally wash and eat and rest. But happier was the father who said, "My son, he was dead, but now he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." The father's heart was both larger and fuller compared to the son's, rejoicing insofar as to slaughter the fattened calf. You know, it reminds me like when you get married, and it's said that your heart grows larger. Your heart has an increased capacity to love, for you're learning now to love someone in a deeper way now than you had ever experienced before. And then that happens again once you have children. Again, your heart expands and grows larger. You have, again, more capacity to love as you now learn to love a child in a way that you have never loved someone before. No, a father's heart, it will always be larger. It will always be fuller than the child's. And therefore, always more delighted in doing the children good. Happier are the fathers in blessing their children than even the children are able to feel. This is why God's heart is so much bigger and fuller. For not only is he the good father of all the faithful, but he's infinite. And as such, he is more happy to bless us than we are in receiving blessings. You know, there are two ways to do something. There's the one way of doing something, and that is to just go through the motions. But then there is a second way of doing something. And that is doing it wholeheartedly. Doing it lively and putting in your heart and soul into the matter. Well, dear friends, it's that second way in which God blesses his people. Yes, the Lord punishes the evildoer, but the Bible says he doesn't afflict them willingly. Yes, he smites the guilty, but he doesn't find any pleasure in it. I find no pleasure, he says, in the death of the wicked. His heart doesn't go out with the afflicting rod, for he much rather delights in showing mercy. You know, when it comes to a judgment, theologians like to call that God's alien work. He does it. He does it righteously and perfectly, but again, it's not his preferred work. He much rather delights in showing mercy to the penitent. And when it comes to mercy, dear friends, that's when we see all his heart, soul, mind, and strength shining through. It's in the context of salvation and grace where we see the wisdom of God and the power of God and the heart of God. All these things in its glorious luster. When it comes to judgment, the Lord simply pours out his power and righteousness. But when it comes to saving sinners and pardoning them, then he engages all of his attributes, all of who he is. He engages all of his power, his righteousness, his wisdom and patience and justice and knowledge. Everything he engages now into blessing his people. Now, I fear that we can sometimes underestimate the joy that God has for his people. How many often think that God is annoyed or irritated at us? But as faulty as the church is, the Lord yet rejoices over her. While we mourn over our sin as we should, we sorrow though not with those who have no hope. For the Lord does not sorrow over his choice to save us. While he and us may both sorrow over sin, God yet delights always in our person. He is perpetually glad, writing his names upon his hands, and evermore calling us his treasured possession. And perhaps most remarkably, we read, he rejoices over us with singing. Verse 17, Zephaniah says that God will exalt over you with loud singing. How much joy and delight must we give the Lord that he should break out in song? I ask, can you imagine it? The great God singing. is such a sight, even conceivable to picture. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit singing in a three-part harmony over the redeemed. God is so happy in his love for his people that he breaks through the eternal silence. Now, we notice that God didn't even sing when he made the world. Even after standing back on the seventh day, we're just told that he looked upon it and rested. While we're told the angels sang and that creation was wonderful to them, for God, though, it really wasn't all that much of anything. It was very good, to be sure, but really, God could have made 1,000 worlds in one day just by willing it. Yet while a perfect creation could not make God sing with all of its beauty and splendor, the salvation of his people can. And it does bring him to sing. It's not a wonder to anyone, dear friends, that we should sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore you." But imagine the reverse. God singing, "Joyful, joyful, I adore you." That's just mind-boggling. He adores us as the apple of his eye. He loves us as his spouse, to be loved and cherished. He loves us as if we were blameless and spotless, for he's washed us. He loves us as if we were clean and unblemished, for he has taken all of the muck and mire and placed us upon thrones. He takes men of dust and makes us into beautiful creations. He has made saints out of sinners, servants out of rebels, children out of aliens, and a beloved people, though we were once tools of Satan. And for all of this, dear friends, we may conclude where Zephaniah did, saying in verse 16, "Fear not, let not your hands grow weak. The Mighty One loves you, delights in you, sings over you. Fear not." What is there to be afraid of? What, you may ask? Not fear even a little bit? We don't have anything to fear? Zephaniah says, no, fear not. Destroy that spirit of unbelief and trust in the Mighty One who keeps and sustains, who provides and saves. When fear comes in, dear friends, we are called to drive it away. Let it have no sphere in your mind. For God's love, it is not a flickering flame. Not even many waters can quench his zeal for you. For if Christ ever intended to cast you off, he would have never have taken you on to begin with. Again, did he not know well before that we would be a weak people? Often rebellious and foolish. His omniscient eyes foresaw all our sins and follies. He saw all of our ungratefulness. He knew what we would be and what we wouldn't be, foreseeing it all with every spot and wrinkle, every fault and infirmity, and yet with all of this again, committing himself to us and making the gospel promise, "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In the day of trouble, I will be with you, a mighty one to save." Beloved, you are the Lord's from this day forth and forevermore. Rejoice and be glad in his salvation, that it is both certain and forever. And stand amazed that he rejoices even more than you rejoice in his love for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you have loved us with a gracious love. Your love is long and broad, high and deep, and you have never ceased in pouring forth your heart towards us. We praise you with bold confidence, knowing that you can save us and that you most definitely will save us through Jesus Christ. As you find great pleasure in forgiving, lead us to seek it and to obtain it in the way set before us. Give us the faith to see and the heart to cry out to Jesus, and lead us to trust in him alone to atone for our sins. Bring us to unwavering faith, one that is anchored to Jesus Christ as both our Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all joy, as you rejoice over your people, lead us to rejoice also. Lead us to rejoice always, knowing that you care for us, that you are working all things together for our good, and that your good and perfect will is being accomplished every moment of every day. Cast out all fear from our midst, and teach us to know that our souls are secured in your hands, that no matter how dark the night gets, we know that our eternal day is dawning. Give us the confidence then to stand in the day of trial and to resist temptation to fear and doubt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all peace, you are sovereign, in control of whatsoever comes to pass. We ask that you would sustain your creation from conflict. Look over the world today and bring peace and rest to the nations. Look after the world leaders, and especially our own, President Biden, President-elect Trump, and all of our representatives. Bring peace and prosperity to the nations, that your people may live in peace. Let your word have free course, and bring peace and prosperity to the nations, that your people may again live in peace. Let your word have free course, and that your kingdom would go out conquering and to conquer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, you are our great provider, from whom comes every good and perfect gift. Lead us in joyful thanksgiving for all the blessings we've enjoyed over this past week. Let your praise be always upon our lips for all the benefits you give us, for food and drink, for house and home, for family, education, and the freedoms we enjoy. Help us to use your gifts for the good of others, and lead us to be generous with our blessings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you the sick and the hurting. We ask that you would be with Thelma as she is weak and on hospice. We lift before you Rhonda as she recovers from surgery. Be with the depressed and the lonely, with those feeling the weight of guilt and shame. And be with the many on our hearts and minds this morning, those whose requests are private and known only to you. Bring healing, peace, and joy. Let your love break the darkness and your promises scatter the fear. Bring your salvation to these, teaching them to trust and rest in you, knowing that the storm will soon be over, whether in this life or in the life to come. Give the peace of mind to the hurting ones, knowing that your grace is sufficient for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 643.